All right, so we're just trying to finish up here on Mem Hey. Hopefully the guys will let me finish up quick. I said, hopefully you guys will let me finish up quick over here. So let's see. Yeah. So what's the question we left off with? Question is Rabbi Yehuda? Mm-hmm.
Also Rabbi Shimon.
Also Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah, because there was a half a mina that he would hold that the...
Okay, so the question then is, one remaining question for Rabbi Yehuda. What is the Havamina that Rabbi Yehuda would say in these cases that you don't need Hazmana? That you don't need Hazmana. Yeah, so what was the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yehuda? On learning it as being Rabbi Yehuda? They're saying, of course, if you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda, then it's a Kal v'chomer. That what? If in a case where there's no Dechiya B'yodayim, he holds that there's Mukta. So here, there is Dechiya B'yodayim. Gemara is questioning why you even have a Havamina for Rabbi Yehuda, right? Yeah, so what were we trying to define that the other day? The Dechiya B'yodayim and no Dechiya B'yodayim. No Dechiya B'yodayim means Hichnisan La'otzer. Right, low dachiya biyadayim. Dachiya biyadayim is where you put them on the roof to dry. Right, so we're saying, what do you need to bring me, what does need a brisa to tell me a case of dachiya biyadayim to make mukta for Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds just putting them in the outer makes them mukta. So of course, this is going to be mukta. Right, so what do we say? Can we just define the terms, the chiyah b'yadayim and not the chiyah b'yadayim? So we're trying to say, yeah. Yeah, so what's the chiyah b'yadayim, what's not the chiyah b'yadayim? So we're trying to say the other day that what? Otzer is not considered the chiyah b'yadayim. Why? Because you're not putting them in any situation that changes what they are. It's just like a placeholder for your das. It's just a... In other words, let's put it this way: the identity of l'schora is just a statement of an aspiration. It's an aspirational statement, right? Something. It just reveals an intention, and it's a shame. It has to do with defining what you want to do with these things, but. That's not called a dechiyah. That's not called that it's dachoy. Because there's nothing different about the cheftza. It's just in terms of its purpose, in terms of its ultimate use. But putting them on the roof to dry is considered dechiyah b'yadayim. Why? Because that is a change of kind. In other words, when you peros l'schoro or peros l'achila are not different kinds of peros, right? It's different uses of the same kind of object. I can either use this to eat to sustain myself or to sell it. But that's not a different kind. Dechiyah means where you're putting it into a situation where you're changing it, where there's a change in kind. Now it's going from one entity to another entity. That's always the term of dechiyah. It seems that's the term of dechiyah b'yadayim. Where there's a real difference, like you put the chitim in the ground. Now they're part of a different process that's going to change them, or putting the fresh fruit on the roof, it's going to turn them into another entity. So now it's more than just changing them. Now it's more than just determining a specific purpose for it. It's actually making them into a different kind of an entity. Okay. Yeah.
Well, here it's not a different entity. It's just going to be a different entity now. You're just putting in the processor, it's going to be a different entity.
That's a good question. I mean, it's a good factual question that you're bringing up. In these cases, let's say Rabbi Shimon, for Grogos with Simukim. When are they Mukta? When do they actually become Mukta? What if you put them up before the time that it starts for them to become bad? Is it muktzah at that point, or is it muktzah only when they become not really.
You put them up and you want to know if you could take them down, but they haven't turned bad yet?
Yeah. Let's say I decided I'm going to dry them. I put them up. Let's say it takes 3 hours for them to start turning bad. Right? I mean, it has to be some time. Right? Even light takes some time to.
Should be fun. I thought that was the case, that they're edible on chocolate. That's why this question, you know. Yeah.
Well, the Grogers and Simukim case is, what's the question? Why would the guy want to eat them? And if they're not Roy Lachila? Well, it could be it's at the end of the process. And when Shabbos entered, they weren't ready. But they happen to, for some reason, they're ready at the end. They're ready by the end of Shabbos. Or the guy is right. He's just whatever. Or he wants to do something else with them. He just wants to move them around. He wants to put them somewhere. He wants to be metal to them for another reason. So that's what I'm asking. What's the case in our Braisa? Are we talking about, when we say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon holds from Grogos at Simukim, is it Dafka when they start to turn? Or even in this case, he holds just putting them up on the roof? It's Mustava, they have to start to turn, no?
Yeah.
So what about for Rabbi Yehuda? What about for Rabbi Yehuda? But for Rabbi Yehuda, they wouldn't have to start to turn, right?
Because the chavush should never become bad.
The chavush should never become because he himself holds it. Just saying something is laotzer is enough. So certainly putting it up on the roof, right? But the question is over here in this case when it has the havamina for Rabbi Yehuda, right? Is that your question? For the havamina of Rabbi Yehuda, that's Sammy's question. The way I'm saying dechiyah b'yadayim, does that mean once they already started turning, or does that mean just putting them up there?
Why would you change?
I'm not really sure. I mean, you could say for Rabbi Yehuda, you could say like this. You could say when you put them up on the roof. This braisa doesn't say when you put them on the roof. Could have put them on the roof on Sunday. And you have already a whole week went by. So they're deep in the process already. But question is, you could say like this. You could say for Rabbi Yehuda, putting them on the roof is no different than Otzer. And it's just I have intention for it to be involved in something else. My purpose is that these fruits should become dried fruits. But that's not that itself is not the process of dry fruits. The process hasn't begun. So it's only considered the dechiyah b'yadayim once the dechiyah kicks in. The dechiyah is that it actually is starting to change. Or you could say no, for Rabbi Shimon that would be true. But for Rabbi Yehuda, his whole svara is that you go by the das ha'adam, right? So for him, defining them by that process can begin immediately. Right? Otzer is not defined by any process. There's no process of Otzer. It's just saying, I will do something with these later. Right? But the Chavushim, you could say, that once I submit it to the process for Rabbi Yehuda, that already means it's defined by that process. For Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't say such a thing, because he never goes beyond the immediate, what it is. Right? That's what you guys are saying. Okay, it makes sense. It makes sense for Rabbi Yehuda.
What about the Fitim Shazan? Because that's the case that they're talking about, the Fitim Yidayim, but you can't say that the process started already, because then it would be a Malacha. Do you have a question about that?
So that's what we say, we hold that... But that was his question, according to Rabbi Shimon. Right? That was his question, according to Rabbi Shimon.
That it wasn't the Chiyuv Yadayim, but the question is, does Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah. Was that right? That was the question for Rabbi Shimon. Does he hold putting it into the process, putting it into the ground, is already a definition of the thing? Does it go by when it actually is niskalkel? So we hold for Rabbi Shimon, it always goes by when it's actually niskalkel. Not by any definition based on a future thing. But for Rabbi Yehuda, it seems we do hold that way. That putting it in, just putting it in the process is already considered the dechiyah. So the question over here is, why would there be havamina for Rabbi Yehuda that it would be not mukta, since you started eating from it? Right? That's the havamina. Since you started eating from it, now you don't need a hazmana. Yeah, so what do you say? All right, so let's take the simple case, just to be clear. In other words, everybody would agree if he took the fruit initially from the orchard, wherever he bought it from, and he put it up on the roof, that's not a question. Then it's definitely going to be muksa according to Rabbi Yehuda. No different than Otzer, right? No different than Otzer. The only question is what? Where you started eating from it first and then put them up. By the way, you saw Tosus on the bottom? Tosus says that the Gemara's maskana is that by Dechiya Biodayim it's going to be muksa for Rabbi Yehuda. But it's mashma that Otzer would not. In other words, if a guy bought fruits and started eating from them and then put them la'otzer, it would not be muksa according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's dafka Dechiya Biodayim for Rabbi Yehuda. It's interesting, Tosus. Okay, so in the straight case, why has it become muksa? Let's just start there. Why does it become muksa? Why is it no different than otzer? I'm saying in the normal case, it's no different than otzer. Right? So what have we been saying? Because you're giving it a definition, right? You're giving it a positive shame. And that positive shame is not a shame of achila for you, right? It's a shame of schora. So it's not within your as it's in terms of a shame prati. I mean, a specific shame. It's not a shame of your tashmish. It's a shame of your hanoa, but it's a shame of your in terms of schora. So it wouldn't be muchan as an ochel for you for yantav shabbos. Correct? Okay. So what's the difference over here? Right, so you're trying to work it out that what? That since he started eating it. So obviously the first point is like this, that what? Once he started eating from it, then what? Then he is koveyed as an ochel. Then he is koveyed this as an ochel. So what's the question then? No, as when a person, you have to realize how things work. Okay, the guy goes, it's not like this is the guy goes to the orchard, right? He goes to the farmer. And he buys a certain, you know, a large quantity of a bushel, exactly. He buys a bushel. Now there are two reasons you could be buying the bushel. Either for eating or for drying. Apparently that's, you know, there were two distinct reasons for buying the things. So if you're a fruit dryer, that's what you do. You buy the fruit for fruit drying. So it's not clear. The buying it itself is not a kvius. It could be for processing, or it could be ready to eat. It's not clear what the there's no special kvius in it until you just from the purchasing. It could be buying it. For ready to eat or for processing. So if you buy it and you put it on the roof, that's clearly the kvius of the shame. When you buy it and you put it in the otzer, then that means that's what it really is. That's, it never has a definition just from the purchasing. It gets its definition from its designation. The buying itself is not a designation. You buy in order to do, but what is it that you want to do? Right? So if you buy it and you put it on the roof or you put it in the otzer, then the kvius is definitely not l'shem achila. But if you buy it and you eat from it and you have leftovers, so everything you ate from is koveya, the entire thing, as a leftover from achila. So that means it was all part of a kvius of achila. Every achila has something you leave over. That doesn't mean that the stuff that was left over is not part of your kviyas of achila. It's just the leftovers. So it's kavua as achila from, so now from the ochel, from the fact that you ate from it, it's definitely kavua as to you as an ochel. So now the question is, when you put it on the roof, what's the question now? Is that going to be so that shame? No? That was the question for Rabbi Yehuda. Is it that he holds that what? simple way is like this, that why is it the Rebbe Yehuda holds it has to, it must have a shame, right? So then it doesn't matter if it's the first shame or the last, then it doesn't matter if it's the only shame it was given or the last shame it was given. Once I put it up for the next process, so now I'm definitely koveya it right now for drying, right? Right now I'm putting it up there for drying. If I really wanted to keep eating from it, I wouldn't put it up for drying. So I'm definitely putting it in the next situation for drying. The only question is, so if I say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it must have one particular shame, so then it's going to be muktzah, right? But if I say like this, because that's Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, that's the whole idea. Then Rabbi Shimon holds you look at the thing by its possibilities. Rabbi Yehuda holds you go by it, its definitive shame. So right now I'm putting it up there for drying. Or do you say like this, that what? It's not that Rabbi Yehuda holds it can only have one shame, but it's just he doesn't hold from the possibilities far. He holds you can only define the thing not by its possibilities, but by the shamos that it has. But over here, once it was already kavu as ochel, it has a shame ochel. So now when I put it up laotzer, it can exist with two possibilities of shamos. You understand? In other words, what was it that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with? Is it that he held something has to be kavua as one thing, and it can't exist in the realm of possibilities? You understand? So then it's not going to make a difference. But is it that he held the other way? It's not that a thing can't have possibilities. Okay? But it can't be defined by its potentials. It has to be defined by concrete kvios. When a thing enters with possibilities, it has no kvios. So it's lacking any cause of definition. You understand? But if the thing was kavua one way, and now I have it up there, and now I change it for another thing, we don't say that he has to be so sir the other shame. We could say no. Now it exists. Now it will. No, it's. Let's put it this way. It's sort of like a way to get Rabbi Yehuda to the realm of possibilities. But how? The only way he can be on equal footing with Rabbi Shimon is if the possibilities come from definitive shamos. You understand? Now I can say it has two. And now it has two definitions. Now it's open to one of its two shamos. The problem with possibilities is that's not a shame at all. You understand where I'm trying to go with this? It's funny though. So how's it come out with Otzer? This we only hold. So we hold for Rabbi Shimon. We hold that Rabbi Yehuda would hold this is Muktzah. But why would Tosis differentiate between this and Otzer? Okay, so Otzer is a good... Otzer, I think you see more clearly what I'm saying. At least I do. And that is like this. In other words, if I buy Ochel, right, you hear what I'm saying? If you buy the food, you buy the bushel, the Otzer, so then why is it Muktzah? Is it muktzah because it has the shame laotzer?
Never had a shame ochel.
That's right. It's muktzah because it never had a shame ochel. That's why it's muktzah. You understand? Once I buy it and I have another reason for it, so it's muktzah because it never was kavu as ochel. That's the problem. Not because of the shame otzer. But if I buy it and I have it la'achila, right? And then I put it in the otzer, that's not a problem, because what is in the otzer? My food is in the otzer. You understand? Now I plan on doing something with my food, but it still is your food. You understand? That's not a problem. The shame otzer is never a problem, Because the shame otzer is always just what I plan on doing with something. It never changes the kind. It's never a change in the kind. The only thing that's going to be mevatel the old thing is if I am changing the kind of thing that it was. It used to be an edible fruit now, and now I'm changing it into a fruit that's not edible until later. So that's a real shinoy in what it is. We don't say it will exist with the two possibilities of the different kinds of things that it is. But by the otzer, it's not a different kind. It's just that if I put it in there initially, the otzer, it never received the shame as ochel, because I had a specific purpose in mind for it. So now it's just like raw material that I have an intention to do something with. But if I brought it in la'achila and then changed my mind to otzer, so that's not sosa the shame ochel in it. Right? That's not sosa the shame ochel in it. That's just my ochel has another, I have another intention of to have something, I have an intention to use my ochel in a certain way at a future point. So what?
If you just buy food stam, you don't have to start eating in order for Shabbos.
That's a good question. If I buy food stam and I put it in my house, you mean? And I don't put it in my otzer, then you'll say it's right.
Isn't stam for achila?
I guess you say stam is for achila. It'll only be a problem if you put it directly in the otzer.
Why does it need to be because of ochel?
The ochel is for, yeah. That's a good question. It has to do with that other sugi that we didn't get to yet. I think it has to do with the question of the Gemara. Remember I mentioned to you the question, the case again? I got to check it again. Where you buy the chicken and it's not clear and the Gemara says, once you shecht it, so then it's a gili that you really bought it for achila. You know, because the stam chicken is not omit for achila. But the Gemara says, but if you buy a chicken and you don't do anything with it, and the first thing you do with it is shecht it, so then it's the gili that it was really for achila. So maybe that's the case over here. You have to have some, there is some stam, you have to do something first. But it can even be on yantif, the achila. Because then it's the gili that it was really achila. You know what I mean? It's not a kvius mikan labo when you eat from it. It's like reflecting what the whole purchase was. So it wouldn't make it muktza. You wouldn't have to eat from it beforehand. Right? That makes sense.
Why?
That's why, you see, that's why if I just buy it, la'otzer, then it's just like property. It's not really considered like food to me. I never had the shame of my mokum achila. But once it has the shame of my mokum achila, so then I'm just saying, well, now I want to do something with my achila. That doesn't automatically disassociate the shame. But if I just bought it as a wholesaler, then I never related to it as food. That's why Aristotle didn't like, he thought it was wrong to be a merchant of some sort. You ever see, he has like this funny thing. Because you're not relating to it according to its proper definition. I don't know if it's some sort of a joke or not, but when you sell shoes, you're not really using the shoe as a shoe, you're using it as a commodity. That's like a...
It's a real canoe.
That's right. It's like an affront to the form. But anyway.
But he wouldn't want all merchants to stop.
No, it's like a lot. Can you really be a shoemaker? Only if you make it for your foot, I guess. Okay, we'll leave that to the guys we get into those things, never come out of them. Okay. But even for Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't really go so much by what the guy's thinking. It goes by the shamos in the thing. It goes by the is it muchan through its definition. So there's a possibility that maybe you'll say Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from just the realm of possibilities. But once I already gave it a shame and now I want to give it another shame, so those two possibilities exist in a real way for me. Maybe Rabbi Shimon is too vague for Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be definitive possibilities. just saying I can do anything with it is not enough. But once I already defined it one way, and then I defined it another way, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would hold it could exist with a dual possibility of the shamos that I was already koveya. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to bring the possibilities into a concrete reality. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda didn't like about Rabbi Shimon. You understand that? I'm trying to define the Hamim a little better. But Lamaskana, it's not a matter of that. It's that he held that it only goes by its fixed, by its actual shame. And doesn't have two possible shames. It has, right now, you switched it over to Chvushim. So that's, in the realm of in the realm of shamos, you only have one at a time. So, but Tosa says that, so therefore one shame is going to replace the prior shame. But Tosa is saying that's only when the shamos are on the same plane. So that means when it's a shame in the Etzem Adavar. Is it a fresh fruit or is it a dried fruit? That's a shinoi in the Chefza, in the Etzem Adavar. Right? But to say it's a fresh fruit that I want to do something with, that wanting to do something with doesn't go down to redefining the Chefza. So that could still survive. As long as I ate from it initially and it was kavua as a fruit for achila to me, to give it another shame of purpose is not going to be mafkia, the intrinsic, the initial shame I gave it in the Chefza. So then it will still come in to Yom Tov or Shabbos, kavua as a muchan from its initial shame, because it never undid the initial shame. If I never gave it an initial shame of achila, and I just put a lotzer, then it's just lacking the shame of achila. But, and eating from it later apparently would be too late. But, that'd be a good question, I don't know. I'm not sure, maybe you're right. If a guy went into his otzer and he actually ate from it, maybe you're right. And Achanami, that's not our case, because our cases are only where he's not eating from it after he puts it in the otzer. But maybe you're right, maybe Achanami, you're right. The guy puts something in his otzer, that's better than hazmana. No, I changed my mind. Right? That's definitely better than hazmana.
But hazmana he's doing before Shabbos.
No, you have to do it before Shabbos, no question. Oh, that was your question? Your question was on Shabbos? No, on Shabbos is too late. It's already Huxel Ben Shmashas, the story's over. But you understand what I'm trying to say, Spang? It's on different levels. That's what I was trying to say in the beginning. Dechia B'Yadayim means when you're going down to the level of the Chefza itself. What type of an object is it? Is it fresh or is it dried? But Peros L'Schora is not a new kind of a pri. It's just I'm saying, I don't care about the achila aspect of it. To me, the main thing is the dollar signs, like the guy upstairs with the dollar signs in his eyes. Which one was he?
Syrian.
The Syrian guy. So to him, all he sees is dollar signs, right? But do we find the secret, the anonymous artist? Okay. So... you understand? But if he already was, so then he's just, so then we'll say if a guy just buys peros and it goes right into the otzer, we will say to him, he's not machshavit as an ochel at all. So it never had the shame ochel to begin with, and he was just kavu with the schora. But if he ate from it once before, so then it does have that shame of achila. The fact that he now wants to do something with it, that doesn't remove that shame that it originally had. No, we're trying to get away from the gavra as an actual active thinker. We're trying to work it in terms of that he holds it has to be muchan from the shame that it had. That was what I was trying to write in the review. It has to come in with a shame. That's what's making it. You can actively change something like that. You can sit there and say, even though this doesn't have the shame, I want it to be that way. But most things normally are muchan because they're defined as an ochel, and that's what it's omed for. So then when it enters Shabbos, it still enters Shabbos as an omed for ochel. But nobody has to go around this house and say, I'm going to eat here. This is all I'm eating from today.
I understand that, but it sounds like that's what the Gemara means.
You add that on the second line? No, it's the possibility that was not mean of Rabbi Yehuda. Is it that he didn't like the vague possibilities of Rabbi Shimon? He says the thing can't. Rabbi Shimon holds the thing is muchan through its possibilities. So he means no one's meisiach das from a possibility. That's the definition of a possibility. but Rabbi Yehuda held possibilities are not enough. It has to be a real kvius that the guy gives it. It can't just be something that could possibly be done with it. It has to be something he's kavuah as a real use. But maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if the person gave it one possibility and then another, he gave it one kvius and then another, so to him these two things are real possibilities. That was like raising it from a vague possibility to a real. So maybe he does really view it in two frameworks. He still views it in two frameworks. So maybe that's enough to be kavua as an ochel too. And the maskana is no. It's only kavua via the shame it has, not the shemos. The fact that he gave it two shemos, you can't go back and say, well, now that shows that it exists to him in two real frameworks. No, it has to be that it's muchan only via its actual identity. So therefore, giving it one shame is effectively a hesach hadas on the other one. Somewhat of a term of art. Okay, that's...